Chapter 18. Great Bars of Fire. A cold, sharp wind blows through me, turning my blood to ice. Head spinning, I stumble back, barely catching myself before I fall. My tongue tingles from the seed, or rather, the memory it contained. Instinctively, I lift my flute, and my fingers take position as around me the world turns gray and full of static, like one of Gran's old TV shows. I glance at Mia, who stands in front of me in shades of black and white, her eyes narrowed. Then I look away as a flash of movement catches my eye. A girl, in full color, runs in slow motion to my left. She's a little older than I am, with short blonde hair and a blue nightgown. Slowly, walls take shape around her, then furniture, a bed, a dresser, a chair. She seems to be running from something, because she looks over her shoulder, eyes wide and afraid. And I see it. Fire spreads across the floor and the walls, consuming everything in its path. The girl opens a door and the memory pans like a camera, following her as she bursts into another bedroom. She pulls a young boy out of a bed and drags him out. They run in slow motion down a hallway as behind them, the fire grows. In a wave, the girl's emotions wash over me. I feel her horror. Her fear, her shame. I did this, she is thinking. I did this. Mom told me no candles in my room. I didn't listen. Fell asleep. Rooted in place, I am forced to watch the terrible memory play out. I see the girl wake her parents, and together they flee outside. They stand on the grass right next to me, and we all watch their house burn to the ground. And that's the moment the girl realizes. We forgot Bonnie. She bolts forward, but her father grabs her around the waist and hauls her back. She screams for her dog, her precious yellow dog with the blue collar, but there's nothing she can do now. I feel her love, her sorrow, her searing guilt, as sharp as if they were my own. The house is gone, and everything inside. I can smell the smoke and feel the heat of the flames on my face. I feel the girl's tears on my cheeks. Her shame burns in my belly. As hot as the inferno destroying her home. That shame flows through me, pushing and insistent. It builds up like pressure inside my chest, pushing against my ribs, searching for a way out. I know that this is the time to play. Raising my flute, I press it to my chin, but another force seems to take control of my fingers. I can only stand there, helpless, as my hands begin to play and my lips blow into the flute. Notes take flight, strong and resonant. Memory fades then. It had all happened in less than an instant, no longer than it took me to bite down on the dandelion seed. Then it's gone, but the girl's emotion remains. Tears on my cheeks, I pour the girl's shame into my flute, transforming it into sound. Mia crosses her arms, watching me with an expression of contempt as the spell takes shape. Does she know what just happened? Does she suspect that this magic is not truly my own? I couldn't stop it now if I tried. The memory has taken possession of my hands. The melody I play sounds strange in my own ears, like I'm moving my lips but hearing someone else's voice. The way the notes are strung together, the turns and trills, the sad melody in a soulful minor key, none of it comes from me. It's all born from the girl's memory of the fire. This magic is her magic, whoever she was. It leaps from my flute, curling tongues of blue flame. Elemental magic, I think, panicking. I have no idea what it will do. It's completely out of my control. I'm no more in charge of the spell's course than my flute is. We're just the powerless vessels through which the music plays out. A few kids step out of the cafeteria then, see me playing my flute and start shouting. Soon, more students follow, then a whole flood of them. Mia vanishes into the crowd, and I'm left standing alone with my flute and this strange, unrelenting spell. Amelia! I glance at Jai helplessly. I can't unglue my fingers from the keys. Already, I regret what I've done, the rotten choice I made. But it's too late. The magic must play out. The spell must run its course. As the crowd of students grows and a few maestros join them, I play on. Cerulean magic flows in banners, spiraling around me and all across the grass. Then, one by one, strange fires spark, burning on the snow with no fuel or smoke. Shouts of alarm rise from the students watching. They back away, while the maestros present move to the front. I see Miss Nurani, Miss Becker, and Mr. Walters there, as well as Coach Phil and Miss March. They usher the students back, well away from the little fires blazing all around me. The spell isn't finished yet. The magic begins knitting the fires together. Blue light weaves with red flames, growing brighter and brighter, forming the shape of a dragon, shouts Jai. Two fiery wings unfurl, one stretching to Harmony Hall, the other over the roof of the cafeteria. Its skin is layered in scales of flame, and its claws and teeth burn white hot. When it opens its mouth, blue fire shoots out. Everyone gasps as it swoops toward us, then arcs upward, flying in a loop around the school. The sound of crackling flames fills the sky, and its fiery reflection shimmers on the windows. I keep playing, my flute like a spool of string, the dragon my burning, roaring kite. The melody is as vicious as the dragon, sharp and high. Dragged along by the melody, I can do nothing but hope it will end soon, without setting anything or anyone on fire. As the second rule of music craft states, lest you be doomed by your own art, always finish what you start. Breaking off the music now would cause an explosion, like the one that turned Jai into a baby. Only this time, a lot more people could get hurt. I have to finish the piece, whatever happens. High above our heads, the dragon loops and rolls, then swoops straight toward us. Screams rise behind me. Kids dive into the snow and the bushes. Eyes widening, I force myself to keep playing, to not drop my flute and run. If I do, all that magic in the air will go haywire, and I could end up burning down Mistwick altogether. It's going to eat us, screams Claudia. She faceplants into the snow. The dragon soars just above my head, its flaming body illuminating the ground and all the students cowering there. Its heat washes over my face. Then, trailing sparks like glitter, the dragon twists upward, high into the sky. It lets out a roar of flame that scorches the roof of Harmony Hall before it dives again, straight into Lake Orpheus. With a resounding hiss, a massive wall of steam rises up as the dragon is extinguished, and the sky goes dark again. A long minute passes as we wait to see what will happen, but the dragon doesn't reappear. Everyone lets out relieved breaths behind me and climbs to their feet. Dizzy from playing so long, I feel a cool rush of relief as the spell finally draws to an end and I can lower my flute. My arms are shaking, my legs are jelly, and I don't have a breath left in my body. I sway a little, exhausted. Then everyone starts applauding. Amelia Jones! Trevor Thompson swoops in and nearly hugs me, but he backs off at the last second and turns it into an awkward shoulder pat. Please tell me you just composed that. Unable to find my voice, I can only nod. He whoops, then claps his hands together. Okay, okay. We can work with this. Phoebe, did you get it all? Most of it. My dorm captain walks up with a handheld recorder. We can get the whole thing transcribed, arrange it for the orchestra, and start practicing tomorrow night. Sweet. Trevor looks ready to cry himself. We got it. We got our spell for the Composium. Amelia Jones, you're magnificent. It's as if my breakdown yesterday is entirely forgotten. Everyone's buzzing about the fire spell. Dazed, I exchange high fives with dozens of students before I find myself face to face with Mia. Well, well, Wonder Girl, she says wryly. I guess you showed me, huh? I'm sorry for what I said about your mom, I say quietly. You're allowed to deal with it however you want. I shouldn't have. Oh, please. She waves away my apology, as if your opinion mattered to me. She stalks away again, but throws me one last look, her expression a strange mix of disgust and smugness. I shrug it off. I've given up trying to understand that girl. Well, Amelia, says Mrs. LaRue, making me jump. I hadn't even known she was watching. I see your lessons have been paying off. Though next time, I'd prefer it if you cleared your composing sessions with us maestros first. She eyes the roof of Harmony Hall and the rather large scorch mark there. I wince. Sorry. Mrs. LaRue turns to her sister, who's standing quietly by, watching me with a thoughtful expression. Matilda, you must explain to me how our young composer has grown so much under your tutelage. Yes. It's very interesting, isn't it? Quite a show you put on, Amelia. Quite a show. The sisters regard me a moment longer before moving away. Nervous, I watch them go, wondering if they saw right through me to my cheating heart. I can't stop thinking about the girl whose memory I just lived. Who was she? How long ago did the fire happen? Can she remember anything about it, or is that night a void in her mind now? Did she give the memory up voluntarily? Amelia! I jump as Jai grabs my arm and shoves his face into mine. Jai, what are you doing? His gaze narrows as he studies me closer. That dragon. Very cool, Amelia. Very cool. Too cool. What? He steps back, folding his arms. In all our brainstorming sessions, you never suggested a fire spell. I lower my gaze. In fact, I believe I did suggest a fire spell. And you said something like, no way, I'm not nearly fun and cool enough to do a fire spell. Actually, I mumble. I said if I tried it, I'd probably set something on fire. He flaps his hand. Point is, I know you, Amelia. And that magic wasn't your style. Swallowing, I look around to be sure no one is listening in. Jai, you used it. He looks around too, then whispers, you know, the thing from the guy at the place. I shut my eyes for a moment, knowing there's no point in lying. I'm terrible at it anyway. I didn't know what else to do. Mia cornered me, and it was like I lost control of myself. I just wanted to show her, to show everyone, that I'm not a failure. Things only get worse a few hours later when I finally make it back to my dorm room. Waiting on my pillow is a black note card with gold lettering. Amelia Jones, I see you've learned your first lesson. Now it's your turn to do me a favor. I'll expect you beneath the next full moon.